Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Catholic Doctors, discussing medicine in light of church teaching. And now, The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek.
Welcome to The Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Will Turek, in the absence of my compatriot, Dr. Michael Parker. The bottom line is, we needed his help, but we'll soldier on and plug away and try to get this show done. So the show today is kind of a show that I've been waiting to do for a while. I am a member of a 12-step program. I'm not an alcoholic or drug addict, just for the record. But it is, there's lots and lots of 12-step programs, Al-Anon and Alateen and Codependence Anonymous and just any myriad, Gamblers Anonymous. There's any myriad of incarnations of 12-step programs. So I am a member of one, and apparently a lot of other people are as well. When I run into patients all the time who say that they've been 35 years in AA or various addicts that I take care of, they say, oh yeah, I've been in NA for years and years and years, and they've been in recovery and sometimes they fall and they get back on the horse, And so this is what our show is going to be about. And so we thought we would bring in, since Dr. Parker and I are not experts in stuff above the neck, we thought we would get an expert. So this is a familiar voice for you out there who listen to St. Gabriel Radio regularly. Mary Ann Jepsen, welcome to the Catholic Doctor Show again.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you. And I'm sorry that Michael isn't here, but Will, it's always great to be with you.
Absolutely.
I love it. I love it. Thanks for having me.
We have a great time together. So
we do.
I've been looking forward to this. I know we talked about this topic quite a bit beforehand. And mm-hmm. I guess my perspective, you're a therapist and you take care of people from the neck up.
Yes, I do.
The supertentorial stuff, as it were. And so how does 12-step programs, how do they fit into your armamentarium of how you treat people?
Well, let's say that, just as you had said at the very beginning, 12 steps can be used for any sort of thing that we have. In fact, relationships gone awry. It started with Alcoholics Anonymous way back in the 1930s. They did a great job with it. Bill Wilson.
Right.
And Dr. Bob Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And they started on evangelical principles, really, yeah. Christian principles. We will talk more about the Catholicity of them in due time.
Mm-hmm.
But integrating everything that's in the 12 steps into anything from anxiety and depression and our relationships that have gone awry, there's so much here. And really what it is it's a personal inventory. We can't change other people.
Right.
We can't make them change.
Right.
We can change ourselves.
Right.
And how do we do that? If we're suffering from anxiety, what are the causes of that? They may have been the way that we were raised. We might have had high-strung parents, or we might have had parents that were abusive. We suffered traumas along the way, or mm-hmm. We had alcoholic parents, whatever it was.
Yeah.
That left scars on us that in turn we scar other people.
Yeah,
in our
we pass it down to
right?
our kids. We pass
we
it down to our close relations, our friends, our workplaces. I mean, it's funny because, one of the principles of 12-step programs is to not go around tapping people on the shoulder and saying, hey, you need to be in a 12-step program and you need to be in a 12-step.
Right.
Because
right.
ultimately, you're fixing yourself.
That's right.
Through the grace of God, let's say it.
That's right.
But the fact is that, there are lots and lots and lots of people who can benefit from it.
Right.
But we don't try to attract people by going, hey, you got a problem, and I think I can find the solution for you.
Right, because you know what that does in a sense? If we point out other people's problems, it puts us in the position of control.
Yeah.
Which the 12 steps are about realizing that we don't have control.
Right.
That we are powerless here. And I think that we have a world that promotes control, that you're in control right. of this. It encourages us to be in control of everything. But you know what happens with that? Number one, it's a lack of humility, right?
Yeah.
And
it leads
to that kind of thing is a dead end road ultimately. It's going to mm-hmm. put us on our knees if we think that we have control over everything, because we are going to lose relationships. We're deluding ourselves. Really, we're in la la land if we have that kind of opinion about ourselves that we right. have control and we can tell you what's wrong with you, right?
Yeah.
The 12 steps are really there's no judgment here. I mean, we know that we have to accept our own responsibility for things.
Well, and we're all broken.
We're all broken.
I mean,
that's exactly right.
You know, ultimately, you know, original sin, Adam and Eve, our first parents, they sinned, and death is the wages of sin. You know, we know that.
That's exactly right.
You know, that's what ultimately happened to them. They wouldn't have died had it not been for their sin. And they unfortunately gave that as an inheritance to all of us.
And yeah, exactly right. And that brings up a good point. Something I really would like to talk about, how the 12 steps are so Catholic.
Yeah.
We could talk about history with all of that. In that back in the 30s, when Dr. Bob Smith and Bill Wilson got together and they with some other people, and they formulated these principles based on the Bible.
Right.
That's where that came from. It was
exactly.
based on the Bible. In due time, probably a few years later, Bill Wilson became friends with a priest, a Jesuit priest, mm-hmm. Father Ed I'm blank.
Dooley? Dowling?
Dowling.
There
yes,
we go.
Thank
okay.
you. It was a D word, right. So he was
Irish,
a Jesuit. So
Irish.
he yeah, exactly. So he likened the 12 steps to the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius
right.
and the discernment process and all. There's so much that crosses over, but you bring up the mention of sin. And there are three things that really make the 12 steps very Catholic and in nature. And one of them is that we know that we inherit original sin mm-hmm. from our fathers and,
yeah.
and mother, original Adam and Eve, right.
right?
That was a sin that we didn't commit ourselves.
Right.
It came to us. We didn't choose to have that. So there's original sin and there's actual sin, which is the sin that we commit. So we acknowledge in the 12 steps acknowledge that these sins, well, that there is original sin, really. The Alcoholics Anonymous would say that these are not sin. This is not a sin that I chose, that I inherited the inclination
right.
towards alcoholism or
right.
something, however that came along. The, you know, there are some theories that, you know, genetic, others
right.
that would say, well, you know, it was, I this
behavioral.
Was, it's behavioral.
Yeah, right.
It's what was, just happened in my family. Everybody
yeah.
drank all the time.
Initially
and it
choice,
was an addictive substance
yeah,
that,
right.
you know, so that happened to me. But also the behaviors that are sinful
right.
are the ones that we do, the ones that how we hurt other people,
mm-hmm.
how we isolate, how we stay away from God in the process. We're not turning towards God. We're turning away from God
right.
in the addictive process, right?
Exactly.
So they acknowledge the sinfulness of the acts,
mm-hmm.
even though they may not call them those in the 12 steps.
Right.
We take the moral inventory and all of those things and,
yeah.
and reparation and things. But also, it acknowledges that we need to repair both in body, mind, well, in three things, body, mind, and soul.
Yeah.
We need reparation in those three areas. And that ultimately the third thing, and this is what's so Catholic, is that there is redemption through this process
right.
through God by surrendering it all to God.
Exactly.
So this is how it brings Catholicity. It's
yeah.
it's so Catholic.
Well, in my experience, you know, when I was a medical student up in Cleveland, mm-hmm. At St. Vincent Charity Hospital, as we talked about before the show, was the third Rosary Hall. And Rosary Hall was at St. Thomas Hospital in Akron. There was a hospital in New York. And mm-hmm. then the third one was up at St. Vincent's. And it was amazing to me as I walked around this Catholic hospital, mm-hmm. you know, that there's pictures of, you know, Dr. Bob and Bill W. and the nun who helped them and all this stuff. It was so steeped in, well, really in Catholicism, but also in the lore of AA. So
right.
it was just really amazing to me that, you know, and really when I got involved in my own steps, what I found to be interesting, and as we go through the steps, because I think it's a valuable thing to do, mm-hmm. is that, you know, when we talk about a general confession mm-hmm. in the Catholic Church, you know, I mean, we learn that in you know, second grade. We learn it in relearn it in eighth grade when we're preparing for confirmation. A general confession is basically all the sins you've committed from the last general confession you had. You know, and so you go year by year and you analyze what it is you've done and how, you know, what's the standard, you know, a kind and number, you know,
yes.
what I did and how many times I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that general confession is what you do in AA.
Right.
And it's exhaustive and it's
brutal.
It is very, very difficult to do because it's shining a light on all of your darkest places.
Yeah. And the darkest places are really what keeps the whole thing alive.
Exactly.
You know, with it, whatever the addiction is or whatever the problem is that you have. And again, I just want to go back and say that we can use this not just for addictions.
Yes.
We use this for all sorts of things.
Money problems.
Yes.
And gambling and overeating and, I mean, anything that plagues you, any behavior that you can find in yourself that is somehow have an addictive quality to it.
That's right.
You know, and so I, you know, like I say, once I kind of got rid of that, well, didn't get rid of, but extended that intellectual understanding of 12 steps and made it something that was more personalized, I came to the realization that, you know, people who are in recovery, they talk about, you know, I'm in recovery as, mm-hmm. You know, a member of a 12-step program, is that, you know, they can apply this and you continue to apply it to behaviors every day.
Isn't that the truth? And that's a really good point. So someone may go through the 12 steps and say, hey, I worked it for my alcohol problem or whatever. And then there's the thing about how do you treat your spouse or how do you treat your coworkers or something. Mm-hmm. I'm angry at those people, those idiots at work or whatever. And mm-hmm. you take it out on them. Well, you know what? When that happens, what do? You go back and you start all over at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Right?
You apply the steps again.
You apply it all over again. Until you, yeah.
Yeah. So you're listening to the Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Dr. Will Turk, your host. Dr. Parker is occupado in the middle of his car, sitting on the freeway somewhere. And we have Marianne Jepsum, who's a therapist. Primarily, that's her day job.
That's my job, yes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously she's a host here at St. Gabriel as well in her own show, the Family Hearth.
The Family Sanctuary.
The Family Sanctuary. Oh,
you don't listen?
I do listen.
Gosh.
I do listen.
Oh, my gosh. I listen to your show.
No, I swear
I'm
to you,
sorry.
I listen.
I can't believe it. Of course. No.
Yeah, well,
you can edit that out if you want.
I know we probably should, but it's better
it's
to show
okay.
my faults.
That's right. That's right.
You know, because we're doing a 12-step show.
You know, I would have done it myself, so.
Yeah. We're doing a show on 12-step programs and how those can really integrate good therapy or integrate with good therapy, how a Catholic 12-step programs really are, and essentially how anybody can use these programs for any myriad of different things to help them to be better people.
And to be free of bondage.
Exactly. So let's dive into this 12 steps.
Sure,
so,
let's do it.
I mean, just to kind of demystify these things for everybody. So these are the original 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, but every 12-step program, Al-Anon, Alateen, CODA, they all use
Overeaters Anonymous, whatever.
Every variation of this. Mm-hmm. So the first step is that we admitted we were powerless over whatever it is, alcohol in this case, that our lives have become unmanageable. So that's the point at which everybody, they talk about hitting rock bottom.
That's right. So what does it look like to hit rock bottom? You know, your relationships fall apart, you can't get to work on time, or you mess up at work, or you go to work after three drinks under your belt, or
you've been fired, wife walked out on you, whatever it could be. I mean,
and it may not have been the first time that it happened, because it may have happened repeatedly and repeat. Rock bottom means pretty much you've lost your relationships.
Yeah.
Everybody's tired of you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, you see this this show that they have on I don't know if it was Nat Geo or whatever, confronting the addicts, you know, and mm-hmm. I can't think of the name of that show, but it's a fascinating show. I enjoy watching it because it's real. Mm-hmm. It's uncut, it's raw, you know. And I, you know, when these families are really in the grips of this pain, mm-hmm. it's real TV. You know, I mean, that's a reality show to me. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's powerful. So the second step is you came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Now, hopefully everybody who's in listening to our voices here, you know, who listens to Catholic radio are believers of mm-hmm. some sort, whether they're Protestant, Catholic, Jews, whatever. It doesn't matter. But the point is, we have to believe that God can not only can restore us, but can bring good out of this.
Right. And even though intellectually we might be able to believe that, Will, sometimes, and we can say, yeah, I believe that and I need God. But it's a little bit different when you get down to really putting that into practice.
Amen.
Right. It's easy to say, I believe. But when you're really put to the test and your feet are put to the fire, and that's kind of where a good therapist, that's a good place where a therapist can come in to hold you accountable and say, what does it mean to believe? How are you really believing? Show me how you're. You know, let's
is God really control, or are you just
in control here?
Yeah, exactly
right.
Yeah. So we made a decision to turn our made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Mm-hmm. Okay. Granted, this is a concession to people who perhaps don't believe and kind of plug into a 12-step program, but it's a spiritual program. That's what this is about. You cannot not believe in something, you know, in this program.
And even calling it the higher power as they do, so it kind of, you know, welcomes people who might not, but... It's kind of hard for an atheist or something to do this sort of a program, or even a Buddhist or something necessarily, because they don't have the concept that we have. It's more about that control issue again, is who's got control.
Exactly.
And in our Catholic understanding of God, he has the control and we surrender our will to him. Right. In some of the Eastern religions, it's like I'm becoming God.
You're part of it.
I'm becoming. I'm growing in His image and likeness.
Right.
But I'm becoming God.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
That's not Christian.
Right.
In any way, shape, or form.
Yes.
Now the four and five are mm-hmm. grouped together, and mm-hmm. they're the painful ones.
Yeah.
made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Okay, as one. And then admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, okay, mm-hmm. there's that priest mm-hmm. With the stole, the exact nature of our wrongs. I did this step. I took it. I did a lot of the moral inventory in front of the Blessed Sacrament.
Yeah.
It was painful, and it was, you know, wrenching. But then when I got in front of the priest, I did a general confession with this, and it was liberating. It was absolutely freeing.
Isn't that the beauty of being Catholic?
Exactly.
Is being able to go to confession and then walk out of there and feel like, wow, it was brutal while I was going through all of that, and really admitting honestly. And this, of course, as with AA, it's not going to just be the sins of alcohol or whatever. There's so much that goes with that.
Exactly.
Lust may come in. What happened to you when you were drunk night after night after night? What did you do in those bars?
Exactly.
Do you remember what you did. You might not, but
that's right.
Yeah, but there's a lot that comes in there.
There's so much that, and oftentimes people actually, and I'm sure you've seen this, people go into AA, okay, they get clean, they're 10 years clean or whatever,
yeah,
and then they realize the emotional repercussions of everything, and
yeah,
then they go back to their 12-step program again, and they say, you know, I need Al-Anon, or I need Adult Children of Alcoholics,
yeah,
or whatever, because the stuff that I fixed is great, but all the stuff that was inflicted on me was
now
the emotional.
Now it's coming out to,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay, so
exactly.
we got 6 and 7 here. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, and 7 is humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Mm-hmm. So once you've gotten through 4 and 5, you've said everything you've done, and then you admitted the wrongs to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Then after that, then you're asking God, look, on my knees, take this away. I don't want this anymore.
Yeah. And our sins and everything can be so humiliating.
Yeah.
When we do what, you know, once you do that moral inventory and then you,
yep,
you share those sins with someone.
Yeah.
For Catholics, that's going to confession or also to your sponsor or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
But the key word in step number 7 is humbly.
Yeah.
You can't do this if you don't have humility.
Mm-mm.
And to really have someone call you on, you're not quite there yet, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, there are these things that you're hanging on to.
Yep.
And to really ask God to remove them, it takes complete humility to
absolutely
do that, right?
Yep.
In order to have them gone. So that's a challenge. That's a difficult step right there.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So 8 and 9 are actually just as painful, only
yes,
just
they are
different. Okay.
Just different.
8 and 9, it made a list of all the persons we had harmed. Okay, I did that. Oh my gosh. And became willing to make amends to them all. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have a huge list of people that I'm, you know, some of whom I've made amends to, some who I've not.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not successful. Sometimes they don't accept it.
Sometimes they don't want to look at you anymore. They're done with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so then you make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or yourself. So in other words, you've been molested by your father,
mm-hmm,
and he's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to put yourself in jeopardy,
right,
in order to make amends to him, because
you can forgive him.
Yes, that's right.
You can forgive him and let it go.
Right.
The forgiveness is for you, and it's between he and God for whatever reparation
absolutely
needs to be.
And the key there is the first person on your list, well, after God,
yeah,
is you.
Yeah. Yeah. Forgive yourself.
You have to.
Yeah.
Absolutely have to. If you're not first on your list, then
that's a tough one.
I had a hard time too.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we're,
because there's shame, Will. Right.
There
you're
is
shame.
Well,
that's
you're ashamed of what you're ashamed
what you
of
did,
what you've
what
done
you're
to
capable
yourself.
Of do. Yes.
And I mean, the fact is, if we don't think that we're capable of mortal sin, that's a ploy of the devil.
Right. This is all about becoming the person God made you to
Matthew
be.
Matthew Kelly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The best best version of yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
It's who God made you to be.
Now, these are all 10, 11, and 12 are basically just recapitulating the same steps day by day by day. So,
right.
Continued, 10 is continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11 is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand him. Listen to Catholic
Daily
Radio.
Daily prayer doing, yeah.
Listening to Catholic Radio. Mm-hmm. Praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry out. It's living your Catholic life.
That's right.
You know, continue the sacraments. You need the grace.
To think that you can do this on your own is you're going to fall apart on
That's
step
right.
11. You need God every day and a lot of times every day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
12 is having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. We tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to people who need it and to practice these principles in all of our affairs.
Yes.
It's a way of life.
It is. And you know what? One of the things going back to Dr. Bob and Bill W,
mm-hmm,
I think it was probably Bill and his wife who really loved the book of James,
mm-hmm,
Faith Without Works is
dead.
And they were not Catholic. They were the ones who, and that was their, scripture passage that they lived by.
Yeah.
And I think really that 12 step comes from there. This is where we put it into action. This is where we share it with other people, where we help other people. Day in and day out, we're available so that the gifts that the people have, the spiritual awakening that they have received, they want to help other people.
Right. And you not take the goods that you've attained and the peace that you've obtained and spread it.
That's right. So
this has been a really quick,
it's been
down and dirty explanation of what 12-step programs are. But I think hopefully some will get something out of this.
I hope so. And remember that it's there for you, whether you can go online. There's great, great resources. I want to throw that in. 12step.org has a wonderful online
listing of all the
But it has
people.
This great free workbook on there, too, to help you work the steps. And there's so much good online that is there for anybody.
I mean, there are 12-step programs all over. I mean, all over the city. Churches have them for in various ways. And so all you got to do is go online. I mean, I was involved with two different places, and it was wonderful. Really, really amazing.
And, you know, some groups have their own personalities. So if you hit one that doesn't appeal to you to begin with, don't stop there. Don't make a judgment that they're all the same, because they all have different personalities, and you'll find one that fits.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So thank you, Marianne, for coming on. We had Marianne Jepson talking about 12-step programs. This is the Catholic Doctor Show. You're listening to Dr. Will Turek, and this is our show for this week, St. Gabriel Radio production, and Dr. Mike Parker is on the road, so he'll be back next week. I hope your week is happy, healthy, and holy. God bless.
God bless.
The Catholic Doctors is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancte, Spiritus, Veni, God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of your faithful, grant that in the same spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in this consolation.
Many support a woman's right to choose, but sadly few know the consequences of those choices. The Catholic Medical Association supports your right to know. Studies have suggested that women who have had an abortion have difficulty with intimate relationships after the abortion. Women who have had an abortion tend to have shorter relationships with men compared with women who have not had an abortion, and they are more likely to report negative relationships. But there is hope through Project Rachel. To find out more, visit cathmed.org.